our pretty annual Hilchos Shabbos series takes place in November. That's what we, I don't know if anyone else has caught that pattern over the years, but that's what we've been doing. And a couple issues just came to mind over the course of this year. One is, I guess, we are not Amazon Prime members. Any Amazon Prime members here in the room? Really?
I think one son is a member.
Okay. So Amazon Prime is a two-day delivery, and it's 2 days, right? It really is... comes in 2 days pretty consistently. Okay, but even if you're not an Amazon Prime member, you probably have ordered things from Amazon or other things online. Therefore, it's becoming much more common for boxes to show up in people's houses. Now, it's also becoming less common for things for two other things to show up in people's houses. One is envelopes, and two are newspapers. Right, but both of those things are also play into this question tonight. So. Okay, so and then there's the aspect of moving it once it's in your house, also once it's on, if it's on the porch. What's the issue if it's on the porch or not on the porch? Does that change matters? And also, what about the fact that it's expensive? There is something called Amazon Key. I don't know if they've started this. Anybody else seen this? They put a lock on your door that they're able to open. That way, instead of leaving it on your porch, they could leave it inside your house. And there's like a video, and somehow it's videotaped, and you see that they're just leaving it in your house and not doing anything else there. But that is for certain neighborhoods, and I assume probably many neighborhoods, it's become an issue that people don't want to order from Amazon, so that's left on their front door. And then what happens to it? So this is their way of alleviating that problem. Okay, so
problem
there's...
it could be hacked.
Hmm?
It's a computer thing that could be hacked.
Okay.
So people are scared of that.
So your Amazon account could also be hacked.
Yeah, but if somebody hacks your front door,
they had something I heard on the news last week that Amazon somehow has on file over 300 million credit cards. Right?
Yeah.
Which is more than the population of the United States.
Well, because
lots of people
have more credit cards.
Right?
Monaco's Prime account has 6 credit cards.
Okay, there you go.
Who's ordering?
Right? So they have. So if you're concerned about them hacking into your key, they also have a problem with hacking into the whole.
Yeah, but they'll walk right into your house.
Okay. All right. So I guess divided up into 3 sections tonight. Number one, is there an issue for the sender? Now, that is, I realize that does not fit under the title of this year. According to the title, we're only concerned about the package arrival. But in order to understand the issues about the package arrival, the sugya about the issues of mailing things is that sugya. It's a sugya of the person, the mailer, as opposed to the mailee. And then we'll see what happens, how that would then apply. By the way, just off the top of our head, what halachic issues are we talking about when there is a package that comes on Shabbos? So... What concerns are there? Like what would be the what area? What chapters in the Hilchos Shabbos book, or which Hilchos Shabbos book would you reach for?
From a public domain to private.
Okay, so what is the public domain from a private domain? Now, where is the public and private domain? I mean, they have their truck, and somehow they walk it up to your door and leave it at your door. So that's not necessarily.
Yeah, but a newspaper on your front lawn. What is that?
Okay. But when you say public-private, you're saying there's an issue of carrying on Shabbos,
right?
Well,
I suppose that the stoop is technically, when you were asking, and I just engaging in conversation,
right.
Technically, I guess the stoop is not private.
I mean, there's an issue that somebody will be carrying, either you picking, so I didn't even put that on the list. What about if there's no Eruv, and there's something on your stoop, will they bring that to the house? I didn't think about that topic. I will have to add that to another share. Don't think about that. What? So muksa. So there is an issue of muksa here. So there's 2 issues of muksa we have to be concerned about. Number one is, what if what is in that box/envelope is muksa? All right, that's number one. The second issue of muksa is that if somebody leaves it at your house, who says you're allowed to move it at all? I mean, by definition, the fact that it's now here, and before Shabbos it was not here, that perhaps makes it muksa. That might be like something falling off of a tree. Yeah.
It's maybe an issue of nola.
That's right, the muksa/nolad issue, that now there's something that exists that didn't exist before, right? So that issue is raised. And then there is also, yeah?
It's also Mara sign.
What is the Mara sign?
That people see you bringing it in, and they might think you're going to open it, and...
Who said you're not allowed to open it? So that's for another share, which we gave, I think, about 5-6 years ago, and I wasn't happy with it, so I didn't post it online, so I can't tell you to check the tapes. But I regave a chabura as part of first seder 2 years ago on that topic, but not to Len's group, to the Gemara learning group, and that is available online. So all my thoughts about opening things on Shabbos are found there, but that also did not make the list for tonight in terms of opening it. The main issue is really an issue of Amir Allah, the issue of you're asking a non-Jew to do malacha on your behalf. Now, what are those malachas that you're asking to do on your behalf? So one is what I thought Joel was talking about, and that is that you're asking him to carry something from some place to place A to place B, which perhaps is in the Eruv, or perhaps is not in the Eruv, in which case, right, so there you have a carrying issue. You're also asking him to drive it over, either from the post office to your house, or from the FedEx/UPS depot to your house. That's another issue, and...
But you're not really asking him, because you have no control over when they say they're going to deliver it. You purchased something 7 days earlier. Like, I just purchased a book, and they said it was going to come in 10 to 15 days.
Right, but his point is that with the Amazon Prime, you're getting it too.
Okay, well, the title this year is not the Amazon Prime package that arrives on Shabbos. It's the package that arrives on Shabbos. So Amazon Prime presents its distinct issues because you are saying, I want it to come in 2 days from now. So that has its own issue. They have to say, oh, what do I care? I'm not telling you to do anything. They're doing it on their own. So that could be the answer. That's the first section of this year. And then there also are this tchum issue that's out there as well. You're asking somebody to carry something from outside the tchum. Now, it's not so much an issue here. I have, because of my mezuzah stuff, I've been now gotten in the habit of mailing things back and forth to New York. And you see, you can track it. USPS, you can track the whole thing. You can see exactly where it is at any moment. So you could see that one can make a case that I don't even know if there's more than one tchum from here to New York. But even if there is, it pretty quickly gets to within that tchum. It pretty quickly gets to that other place. So what exactly is that issue? But on the other hand, not necessarily what we're doing. We're also ordering from the Midwest someplace or wherever the Amazon warehouse is. So yeah, so that is also an issue. You're asking somebody to bring something from outside the tchum to inside the tchum.
This is including the issue of doing the malacha in between. If you order it on Wednesday, you get it on Wednesday. Somebody was moving it on Shabbos.
Okay.
So is that part of this?
Sure. I can throw that question. Actually, that is somewhat there. It's going to be very hard. Then you're not allowed to mail things anymore.
Sorry.
Everything has to be mailed 2-day delivery starting Wednesday or earlier. Yeah, I hear. Okay. Well, that answer should be resolved. I mean, that I assume you didn't assume that. Oh, like a vault. Right? But what are we going to? But how does that get resolved? So that will also should be resolved over the course of this year. Okay. So there's two main Gemaras that we're going to analyze. The first one has to do with mailing. Now, okay, so what does it say? It's a Tanur Rabbanan, source number one. In Mishalchin Igeris Biyad Nachri Erev Shabbos. One should not send a letter in the hands of a non-Jew in Erev Shabbos. Ella in Kain, Kotzeit Slo Damma. Unless you have established the price. So what does it mean you have established? What does that mean? So you've already said, again, this is the mailer. You're the mailer. You are sending a shliach. You're sending a messenger on your behalf. That happens to be not Jewish. So you have established the price. Why does that change anything? So there's some... Last year we gave the Uber share, or 2 years ago, there's two types of workers that a person has. You could have a poel and a koblin. A poel is a hourly worker. A koblin is a contracted worker. So you have essentially... When it says kotzeit slo damim, it's setting up a case of a koblin. It's setting up the case of a contractor. Right? That I have established with this person. Here's the set price that you're going to do it on my behalf. Now, what is the halacha when it comes to a contractor on Shabbos? So a contractor could do, assuming he's doing, you're not paying him for the time, you're paying him for the work, he could do that work whenever he wants. If you bring something into the dry cleaners across the street on Thursday, and you're going to pick it up on Tuesday, so just because they decide to wash it on Shabbos, that's not your problem. You're paying them the set price for the garment, and they can do whatever they want. So if they're doing it on Shabbos, that's not your problem. The only problem, however, is if you tell them, I need it to be done on Shabbos, and you bring it in on Friday afternoon, an hour before Shabbos, and you say, I'm going to pick it up for the sake of this year, Saturday night, in order to avoid all machlokim. I don't know. They close like on Shabbos.
6:30. It might be possible in the short days.
Oh, wow! It's even possible. All right. They close at 6:30 on Saturdays on Shabbos.
I don't know, but
okay. But theoretically,
they won't have it done in the day.
What?
Take a few days.
You pay extra.
No, they'll get it done pretty quickly if you ask them. I understand. So that's why I want to avoid that issue. It's a 24-hour dry cleaner that will do things in 12-hour minimum. So you want to do it. So is that permissible? No, because you are hereby telling them to do Malacha Doraisa on Shabbos, right? So in Cain, you have to set aside top money. And it also sounds like the implication is that you can't be telling them that they need to do it on Shabbos itself. So that's okay. Okay, so Veshamai Omrim Kadeshi Agil Leves. So Vesil Omrim Kadeshi Agil Leves Hasamach L'choma. That needs to be able to reach the house that you're sending it to. You need to have time beforehand in order to get it to that place. Vesil Omrim, no, you don't have to get it to the specific address. You have to get it to the house in that area. Now, you have to go back. There's anachronistic is the term used to say that, like, you have to figure out which timing it is. So, you have to understand people didn't really have addresses back in the day. Then the complaints, right? If you needed to call the fire department, you were in a lot of trouble. You would have to give directions. So they didn't have addresses. So what's the discussion here is, if a person brings it to the town, they say, where is Shmerel Beryl? Where does he live? So they're going to start giving him directions. And now he's going to start wandering. And if you ask, you know, three people there, so you're going to ask, they're going to give you three different places. And now he's wandering all around town, carrying this big Amazon package around with the big name Shmerel Beryl on it. So people are, what's going on here? Why is this guy having this thing delivered on Shabbos? That's a problem. So therefore, he needs to be able to know which house to get to. Beis Hillel says, no, you don't have to get all the way there. You just have to get to the central post station. The central post station in that town, assuming that there is one, will be able to deal with it. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, but the halu katzis, but he set aside the exact amount of money. So Amar Sheshis, no, and therefore it shouldn't be an issue. So Sheshis says, Hachi kamar im lo katzis, so then we have this machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So if you have set aside the price, so you don't even have to worry about where exactly it's headed, setting the price seems like it should solve the problem, and assuming that, you're giving him some flexibility as when he's doing so. If there is a set price, he's allowed to go ahead and bring you to someplace on Shabbos. It's fine. So how is that then paskin the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us in source number 2, Sholeach adam igeres biyad einu Yehudi, you can send a letter in the hand of a non-Jew, even on Erev Shabbos, im chashecha, v'hu shekatzis l'dom, as long as you have set aside the money, and you have not stipulated, as long as you have not told him that he needs to go on Shabbos. Right? Which also means it doesn't need to be, you can bring it as late as you want. You can bring it by next Thursday, Friday, whatever, I don't care. So if he decides that he does it right away on Shabbos, then that's okay.
So you can't go to the post office Friday afternoon and send a one-day air.
So that would be a problem, yes. Yes, that should be avoided. To have a one-day thing, that's a problem. To have a two-day thing on Thursday, so that might be okay. Well, I'm not sure. Well, if we don't cover that might be okay. And if the okay, and then it goes into whether it's established or not established, etc. Under our circumstances are that you've katzat lo damin. Fine. So that's enough. So the Mishnah Berurah explains here, Uvilvad, in number 3 here in the Mishnah Berurah, Gimel, V'ma'inu Yehudi Omer Mi'atzmo Shilach B'Shabbos Leislamba. Right? If he decides that he's going to do you a favor and take it right away, that's not a problem. Because the Jew didn't tell him to go ahead and did it. Why? What is the problem? So if you look in the other line part, he says, because Yomru B'Shabbos Nasan Lo Laholich V'im Kein Im Nechtav Haigeres period. What's the concern? The concern is that if he didn't have a set price, so then we're concerned that he's going to walk around. People are going to say that the Jew told him to go ahead and do it. If it's somehow covered up, that it's not clear that it's a Jew sending it, it would be okay. Even if you sent an Erev Shabbos and you didn't set it a price, again, so long as you didn't tell the person explicitly to bring it then. That is also what's paskened in the Shpir Shabbos Kehilchaso, that in Chutz La'aretz, where it's not the majority Jews, that's his assumption, you're allowed to bring a letter to the post office on Erev Shabbos or place it in your personal mailbox on Erev Shabbos, even though you know that he's going to take it on Shabbos, you didn't tell him to do so. So long as you didn't tell him to do so, he's permitted to take it. You can put it in your personal mailbox on Erev Shabbos, that's what he says. Why? Because it's their decision to do it or not. Now, he makes a distinction here. He's in this book, Commerce and Shabbos, which is a very good book. I like it. It's been a pretty good book by someone named Yosef Kushner. I've corresponded with him in the past. He put his email address in the opening cover, which is like the style amongst the people nowadays. So I've corresponded with him a few times. His father-in-law is Rav Shlomo Miller in Toronto, who's a pretty prominent posig in the Lakewood world. So he says, yes, you could put it there, but you can't raise the flag. Raising the flag is asking him to pick it up. Now, I'm not sure why you would make that distinction, right? Why would, if you're putting it in the mailbox for him to pick it up, you're also asking him to pick it up. But that's his claim. I don't know. Is that like a din that the post office guy needs? Is that like part of Hilchos post office that he's supposed to take it?
Would be if they're not delivering anything to you, they wouldn't look in the box.
Right, that's why you would raise the flag. Yes, I'm not sure I buy that distinction, right? Because either if they drop something off to you and there's a letter there, is that a courtesy that they pick it up, or is that the halacha that they have to pick it up?
It's a courtesy.
It's a courtesy.
So they don't have to.
They don't have to.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So they do.
So if they want to, so then they do. So that's why it's okay.
If you put it in the real in the official mailbox.
Right.
And it says pickup is Saturday morning at 9.
Right. So
then
there again,
they
so
do have to.
He passes it still okay. In this book, he says okay for the same reason. He says, yes, it's true, they have to, but that's their halacha speaking. It's not my, I don't care if it's picked. They can pick it up Sunday for all I care. They can pick it up Monday, as long as it gets there at some point. So even though they know that they're doing it, that's okay. It's similar to the dry cleaning issue. Like if you go in on Erev Shabbos and say, I need this done by Monday morning. So they're closed Sunday, right? So they're obviously going to do it over the course of Shabbos. So is that mutter or aser? So that's a machlokas that is out there. If it's their rules that have defined it that way, so do I then have to? Is my concern about them doing it on Shabbos? If I know the rules beforehand, does that concern me? I know they're closed Sundays, therefore they're actually going to do it on Shabbos. Is that a problem? So we assume that lemaisa practically we assume not. We assume that been makel on that for a couple of cases in the past. Fine. So that is the issue with mailing. Now, okay. So now what about the arriving package? So the arriving package, the assumption is that there is a malacha that has been done on your behalf. That's the assumption. Now, one could make a claim, and we'll point that out later, that it might not hold true necessarily today. Certainly, that might be a distinction between UPS and the post office. Because the post office is coming anywhere in UPS. But the assumption, that, for now, let's hold the assumption that they're doing some malacha for you. In a community where there is no Eruv, it's obvious to see what malacha they're doing for you. If there is an Eruv, it becomes a little more hazy what that is. But let's just assume that they're doing some malacha for you. So the Gemara in Maseches Beitza, speaking about Yontif, but the assumption is that this would apply to Shabbos as well, has the following case. Source number 4, Amar Rav Papa Hilchasa Nachbi Shehevi Doron LeYisrael B'Yom Tov, that if he brings some package, he brings a gift to a Jew on Yontif. So he shows up on first day of Pesach and brings you a box of
cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened in Chicago.
It's more likely it'll be egg matzahs. Sorry, that's the most.
It's a matzah shahai. Right?
Yes, the cereal. We had it here.
Yes.
We had it on Pesach. Was it on Pesach?
Newspaper came,
yes.
Box of Kellogg's something.
Right. Yes. So we had that. Was it on Pesach? Or I was just thinking about what it was on Pesach, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we had that here. Okay. So Mishmi Oso Hamin Hamachu. So if that includes. So if that. So what? So in the Gemara's time, he didn't show up with cereal. They were much more classy than that. He would show up with a box of apples. So Mishmi Oso Hamin Hamachu Bar Aser. So if your concern is that he picked it that day and brought it, it's prohibited. Ula erev nami asur. At night, it also is aser. Bichtei sheyasu. You would have to wait after Yontif is over or Shabbos is over. The amount of time it would take you to go and get those apples yourself. How to figure that out nowadays when things are all over the country. Okay, but anyways, that's the case. You would have to wait after Yontif for a while in order to eat it.
So it's say the apple orchard's up in your back, and however long it would take you to go out to the apple orchard and pick apples. Is that what?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not. Wait a second.
But you don't necessarily have an apple orchard in your bag.
But if you
walked over to his apple orchard and picked apples.
If that's where they're coming from. I'm saying today the issue is raised, well, if you're going to apply this Kadesh Yasu standard for something that, right, something that came from California, so how exactly, Kadesh Yasu is in a few days, or it's, what is that? But okay. For our purposes, it's he did a malacha on your behalf, or your concern is that he did a malacha on your behalf, you're not allowed to benefit from it. He says, and if there's nothing of that type, there are no apples, he didn't bring you apples, instead he brought you chocolate. So tochat chum mutter, if it was from within the tchum, it would be okay. If it was from outside the tchum, it would be prohibited, because he did something by bringing you something from outside the tchum. V'abav v'shil Yisrael zeh mutter Yisrael acher. He brought it specifically for the Baal Bayis, it would be permissible for the other guy in the house. It would only be prohibited for that specific person. Okay, so that's also an important rule. So comes Rashi and says, so why is this? Why is this? What is the problem with a person with the non-Jew, with using the thing that the non-Jew brought? So says Rashi, Kadesha lo yehne mimalechas yomtov. So that you don't get hana on, you don't get benefit from a malacha that was done on yomtov, even if it was done by a non-Jew. It's just, sounds like it's like mias. It's like, ugh. I don't want to use something that was done with a malach on Shabbos. He goes on and explains that if in a 2-day yontif, you would be able to use it on the second day. You would say this, because you could say, well, today, one day is the real day of yontif. So if today is the real day of yontif, so then I could eat it tomorrow. And if tomorrow is the real day of yontif, so then today it was fine for him to bring it. So therefore, you're allowed to use it on the second day. That's what Rashi continues on and says. But the halacha is kedesh lo yene mimalachas yontif. So you don't benefit from malacha that was done on yontif. Tosus comes along and says on the other side of the page and says, no, I'll tell you what the problem is. Ela hatam shema yomar lenachri leich v'lek. The concern is that I get used to the non-Jew showing up with his apples every yontif, then I'm going to get used to asking him to bring my apples on yontif, bring my fresh fruit, my freshly picked apples on yontif. So that's the problem. I'm concerned that it's going to lead me down the road of doing this again. And therefore, says Tosos, I disagree with Rashi's conclusion as well. I would assume that it's prohibited to use even until after all of Yontif and Shabbos is over. Because if according to Rashi, so that I might still get used to, oh, can you pick apples for me on Thursday so that I can eat it on Friday, which is also Yontif. Right, so that's not appropriate. So therefore, because of that, that is the chumrah of Tosos on Rashi. Tosos is going to be machmir with Rashi with regards to using it on the second day. Now, there's also a chumrah the other way. In one way as well, Rashi is more chamor than Tosfos. Which way would Rashi be chamor and Tosfos? So if one could come up with a case where I have no concern to tell the non-Jew to do something on Yantif, I mean, that concern doesn't exist. That I could use this and there's no concern that I'm going to be able to convince him to do this another time, or I would never ask him to do it again for some reason. So perhaps one has the right to be lenient based on Tosfos. So both Tosfos and Rashi would say that's not allowed. Because at the end of the day, there was still malacha that was done on Yantif. Okay, so that's the give and take of Rashi and Tosfos. So how do we paskin? How do we resolve that? The court, right, so Rashi says the reason is because I can't do things that were, it's just, if a malacha was done on Yantif, even was done by a non-Jew, I don't want to use it. Tosfos says, no, I'm concerned that I'm going to ask the non-Jew to do it. If I permit usage of that stuff, I'm going to go and ask him to do other stuff or that again, and that's not okay. So both of these have a chumrah, and both of them have a stringency, and both of them have a leniency. According to Tosfos, the stringency would be that I couldn't use it even on the second day. Because the concern that I'm going to ask him still exists on if it's for what, day one to day two. According to Rashi, the stringency is that if I could figure out a scenario where there is no chance that I would ask the non-Jew to do that malacha, so then perhaps the prohibition doesn't apply, and the usage of it then the usage of that stuff then becomes permissible.
So why is that a stringency and not a leniency?
So it's a stringency. Rashi wouldn't allow it. Because Rashi would say, what are you talking about? There was malacha that was done on Yantif. You can't do that. Use that stuff today. Right? But Tosfos would say, no, that would be okay. Because the concern doesn't exist. Okay? Okay, so now we turn to this is actually found in Hilchos Yontif. Again, this is coming out of Maseches Beitza. So in Hilchos Yontif it says the following: Ein Yehudi shehivi daron liYisrael biYontif. If a non-Jew brings a gift to a Jew on Yontif, right? Im yish mimino b'mechubar osh mechusar tzeda. If there are things like that that are either attached to a tree or are lacking trapping, I mean, another thing, very nice thing that a non-Jew could bring you on Yontif might be like a fish, which he caught that day. So if it's possible that he caught that fish that day and brought it, aser, it's prohibited to use. Even for the person that it was not brought for them to eat on that day. So what does that sound like? That sounds like Rashi, right?
Yeah, except Rashi would allow the others to be.
Right, because also the Gemara said, Yisrael Zim, Mutal Yisrael Acher.
No, my first thing. Rashi said anybody could
eat it
on the second
day. Right. Right. Correct. So he sounds like he is saying, like, Rashi, even though the Gemara, I mean, let's look back in the Gemara. The Gemara itself says that if you brought for this Jew, it's permitted for another Jew. But anyways, that's what his assumption is, that it's not usable. Even to move it would then be a problem. And at night it would be permitted as soon as it took the time to do it. On the first day it would be okay to use the second day, provided that you permitted that amount of time to go through. So Shulchan Aruch is in Rashi's camp. Comes the Ramah and says, and there are those that are machmir to prohibit until the end of the second day, like Toso says, b'shem rach v'rashi v'smag, I'm not sure why Rashi is quoted there, v'noagim l'achmir, arminagis b'machmir, and these kinds of things not to use for all of Yontif, im eino tzorech Yontif, if there's no necessity to use it on Yontif, for the purpose of guests or things like that. Meaning, yeah, there's a purpose on Yontif. I want to give it to my kid to play with. No, it's if there's some kind of pressing need, you would have the right to be mekel. The as noagim lahakil laachirim shelo huva bishvulan, and we also have the minhag to be mekel for others that it was not brought for them. So what do they seem to be saying? So the Ramah seems to be passing like Tosfos that we're going to prohibit it. Over the course of both days. Now again, what are we talking about here? A malacha that was done on behalf, by a non-Jew, on behalf of the Jew, without necessarily the Jew knowing it, there still seems to be a prohibition here in using it. Next case. We skip along in that section, Tafkuf Tesvav and Hilchus Yontif, to where it says Sif Tes. Yisrael Shashigir Doron Lechavir Alayde Inu Yehudi Merav Yontif. A Jew sends a gift to his friend the Jew by way of a non-Jew. No, he sends it to a Jew via a non-Jew. Lechavir to his friend Alayde Inu Yehudi by way of a non-Jew on Erev Yontif. V'nizaki Ve'inu Yehudi Ve'vi, and he wants it to get there on Erev Yontif, or for Yontif. V'nizaki Ve'inu Yehudi Ve'vi and the non-Jew got held up and he brought it on Yontif itself. Mutter, it's permissible, afilu l'mi shehuva bishvilo la'achlam. It's permissible even for the person for whom it was brought. Why all of a sudden is that going to be okay? A malacha was done on his behalf. Well, because the idea was for him to get it before Yontif. Now he happens to be doing it on Yontif itself. That's only because he was held up. Right? But so who does this sound like you're passing like? Not like Rashi. It sounds like we're passing like Tosos, right? Rashi would say, well, malacha was done. It should be a problem. Tosos is coming along and saying, no. It's then going to be okay because the Jew didn't ask him to do it, right? This is a scenario. And if the Jew told him to bring it before Yontif, he held up and therefore he'd bring it later. But that's not what the Jew told him to do. The Jew told him to do something else. And if we were to do this, go through the scenario again, what would the Jew tell him to do? The Jew would tell him, leave, make sure you leave earlier so that you get there on time. right? He wouldn't. Right? We don't. The concern of, oh no, what's going to be? We're going to ask him again another time. That doesn't exist here. He's allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to move it if there's a tchum issue or if it's from outside the city. But that's not our issue right now. If his mind was to have the day before, delay spay iser muksa. And then you get into the muksa issue, which you want to hold off on for a couple of moments. Fine. So why is this all of a sudden okay? Because there was no explicit instructions for him to bring it then. If he brought it then, he was bringing them on his own. And suggests the...
And then it's okay.
And therefore, he suggests that it's going to be okay. Now, I would put on... And that's, in fact, what the Shpir Shavsk Hilchasa seems to say. Right? Chavila Shehuva B'chutz La'aretz. Here we go, source number 6. B'Shabbos Ha'idei Ador. Something was brought... A package was brought on Shabbos by way of the post office. And not because the person sending it wanted it to get there on Shabbos. Mutterli henos min hadvarim shaba gam bo bayom. You're allowed to benefit from the stuff in that package even that day, provided that you could figure out a permissible way of opening the package, right? But if you could do so, it would be permissible that day. Afilu huva michutz l'tchum oderach makum she'im bo erev. Even if it was brought from outside the tchum, or in a way that it was not oderach makum she'in lo eruv, or in a way that there was no eruv. So
that would apply to all these things that you order, and they kind of pick the date.
Yes, that's what it sounds like. Now, is that totally then okay? There's a problem though, because what happened to the shita of Rashi? Right? I thought at the end of the day, there's a malacha getting done here on Shabbos on your behalf. So why all of a sudden? I thought we'd pass it like Rashi. At least we should be concerned for Rashi's opinion. So in Rabbi Kushner's book, he asked this question in that second paragraph. He says, "V'rach tziach iyun, tzarach iyun, tzadi ayin, tzarach iyun." That's Rashi. What happened, right? She savar de asuli hanos b'malachas b'shabbos af klich af malicha shas shema yom rulo. Right? That. He says you can't benefit from malacha on Shabbos even without this. Even if there's no concern that lest you go ahead and tell him. Should be a problem. That the Be'er Halacha quotes. That's actually the Be'er Halacha there in source number 9. That it is fitting to be machmir for the thought of Rashi as the gra, as he's quoting from the Vilna Gaon. Why he doesn't say that here as well? But he puts a little bit of he puts some cold water on this, and therefore, and is saying, and this is what I would suggest. That I would not to use it unless there is a tzorach, unless there is some specific reason why you would need it to be used. Some kind of major concern. It usually isn't going to be the case, but unless there's some kind of major concern,
medicine you need that day.
Right. So the things that are real concerns, one has the right to probably be makel anyways, even for an overnight kind of thing, for reasons maybe we'll get to. Although it's already getting later. But if it's a real, for something that there's a real need for, obviously if it's a medicine, life and death, so then, okay. If it's something that is causing some kind of illness or it's not life and death, but still, you have the right to probably violate these kinds of things for that as well. Mir la'akum, you could override for that as well. So it's something like less than that. So maybe like guests are coming and this Amazon Prime package has the rice I need. Something along those lines, one can get a sense for that. I would also make the following distinction. I would add one more thing here, and then I'll tell you my other distinction. In the here he quotes from the Shas Shuvas Chalkas Yaakov Breish. There's a rabbi in Switzerland or something over the course of the last couple of decades. He passed away a few years ago. So the Chelkas Yaakov has the following added idea and says, if the non-Jew is not doing any malacha specifically for you, so then one has the right to perhaps be makel as well. So at every step along the way, they're not doing it for you. They're doing it, well, first of all, the suggestions put out, they're doing it for themselves, for them to earn a living. But I always had problems with that because like you could then use that for a lot of different things. Meaning, I bring it to the cleaners, and they're not doing it for me. They're doing it because they want the money. But problem of me, okay. But anyway, but it all steps along the way. They're not doing any malacha on your behalf. There's no malacha that's getting done for you and only for you. The guy driving the truck is not driving any differently because, unless he is, because you. He's doing his full deliveries. The guy flying the plane is not flying it for you. He's flying because he has everything else in that plane. In fact, you would even add in that there is a concern here about, well, what if it's a place that's majority Jewish? I mean, there's a difference between a postman delivering things to Wynwood and delivering... although you might be 50% Jewish, but a place that is less than 50% Jewish versus bringing it to Lakewood, bringing it to Brooklyn, where everybody there is Jewish, and therefore everything is being done on behalf of Jews. But in a scenario like ours, where it's not all being done on behalf of Jews, they're doing their own route. The post office stops in the middle of the block, in front of our house, and then goes and does the entire block. So they're not doing any extra malacha on your behalf. So therefore, one can make a case, perhaps, that there is, assuming that the Eruv is up, if no malacha is being done on your behalf, so then that concern doesn't, then perhaps Rashi's concern doesn't exist either. So I would actually make a distinction between things that are brought by the Postal Service versus things that are brought by UPS. Things that are brought by the Postal Service, the guy's parking in the middle of the street and bringing it to your house. Right? Things done by UPS, they're not...
It's being made specifically
for you, and therefore that's an issue. Now, there is an Amir Lakum detail, just to throw in, if one looks at the CRC website for their policies on Amir Lakum, because what technically might be okay isn't necessarily what policy-wise you want to make okay. So they say the following rules are what we tell non-Jewish work on Shabbos. Anything that a Jew can do, a non-Jew can do however they want. So theoretically, a Jew can wash dishes, a non-Jew can wash them using hot water, right? But anything that a Jew is not permitted to do, a non-Jew is not allowed to do either. Now, one can, in terms of, that's their policy. It's not necessarily fitting halacha exactly, but that is their... that is their policy. So why was I just quoting that? So in theory, the UPS guy doesn't have to drive up to your house. The UPS guy can walk all over the neighborhood and deliver your things. Okay, but still. I would perhaps make that distinction because they are doing malacha specifically on your behalf. Yeah.
It seems to me that the post office sometimes does deliver like UPS. I get a lot of packages that kids are always ordering stuff. Sometimes the post office will show up with a special delivery.
Yes, especially if it's a...
without any other mail. Sometimes even on Sunday they'll come.
Yes, if they have overnight delivery, they have a separate guy apparently
more
around
like UPS.
His job is only to do the overnight delivery.
So that's more like a UPS or a FedEx.
Correct. But I would put out that distinction as well. So it says in Shulchan Aruch the permissibility of Shulchan Aruch is Paskin Smutter. Far be it for me to say to be Machmir, except for that the Bir Halacha a little bit later. Lower down on the page also kind of says to be machmer in that question. So I think it might be fair to make that distinction, assuming that the year is up. If no malacha is being done on your behalf, so therefore one has the right to be makel. Yes.
Sometimes if they have a box, they'll deliver the regular mail. Then they'll go back to the truck and get a box specifically for you.
Yeah, but they're not doing any malacha. I mean, they're not driving the truck to your house.
They're just doing it to be more efficient because it's easier to carry.
Correct. Right. Once you're in that scenario already, they're already on your block.
I think it's has a code on it. If a package, they scan it.
Good point. I would say that's for them. That's not for you. You don't care if it's scanned. You have the package already.
But sometimes they send an email. And you want it just for fun. You want to track it because you get an email.
That's for the guy sending it. That's not for the guy.
Well, you could when you get a package from Art Scroll, you can see when.
I understand, but okay, you can do a lot of things.
They don't look at it. People look at it. So
I understand, but in terms of their scanning it, I don't care as a receiver. I'm not now going to go and check the email to see if it was delivered. I haven't pulled it in my hand.
What if you just want to feel like doing it for fun afterwards?
So you can do whatever. If it's for fun, it's for fun.
I hinted at it. It reminded me about the issue of signing for something like that.
So they talk about these signing for things. I don't know what those rules are about signing or not. You're obviously not allowed to sign for a package. You could tell.
No. I can't sign, and then they sign.
So once again, you do what you need to. I'm going to do what I need to do, and you do what you need to do. And they have the right to sign your behalf.
Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't.
Right.
It just depends on the person.
The another thing he makes a point, all the posting here made this point, that if there is no Eruv to receive a package, to actually take it in your hand, is half of the malacha of carrying. So that's actually a major issue. That I think we gave this shear a few years ago when the Eruv was down on Halloween night. I think Halloween might fall down on Friday. And it occurred to me then that that actually is a major issue to give something out through your doorway. I think the Eruv was actually the, I don't remember if, again, if this was a conceptual share, whether it actually happened or not, but that itself was that's a major issue. So if somebody is bringing you a package and there's no Eruv, so you have to have them put it down, you can't receive it from them. That is half of the malacha of carrying Shusei Rabin to Rishus Hayachid.
What if you have a fence around your property and they come to the door?
So then they're in already. Once they're walking in, and they're standing in your property, so then you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Then there's other, what about our little porch where we have a little fence around our porch? Is that called? That's an Irvin issue, not necessarily our issue. In terms of the Amazon Prime, where it's a 2-day thing, so here, I see, so here he passes this, and yes, it is a 2-day thing. They're guaranteeing within 2 days, but they can also guarantee it. They can also bring it the first day. I don't really care, right? They could bring it on day one. So therefore, to order it on Thursday or Friday is okay, unless it's Yontif. Right? If it's Yontif, then it seems like it should be problematic to order it before.
So overnight is really the only one.
Overnight, when it's Erev Shabbos, would be a problem. A couple years ago, my brother-in-law, when he lived in San Diego, wanted to run a business breakfast on Sunday morning with T-neck bagels. That was his chav. So he wanted my other brother-in-law to go to T-neck bagels on Friday morning and overnight bagels to San Diego over Shabbos. Right? Would that be permissible? So that he called me. So I thought it was. You could, from Friday morning to Sunday morning, even if you work in the time changes and stuff, you could get it there on time. You could get it without malacha being done on Shabbos. It doesn't have to happen that malacha being done on Shabbos, so therefore it would be okay. I just suggested that you do it early Friday as opposed to late Friday, although even then it probably is okay because you can overnight things anyways over after...
I think it would be a problem. Given day-old T-neck bagels, my dog wouldn't eat them.
Mm-hmm. All right. So one other issue is, okay, well, what about the muksa packages? What about that?
Yeah.
So that is a problem. I couldn't figure out a way around this. It's not just a problem with the package. It's a problem with the mail. Oh, newspapers also. I just want to talk about newspapers for a moment. So newspapers, it comes out of probably, okay, there are reasons to be machmir, but there are also reasons that one has the right to be makel and read newspapers even though it was printed and delivered on Shabbos. They're not printing and delivering it for you. They're printing and, well, they're delivering it to you, but there's no malacha. And if there is an Eruv, there's no malacha in delivering it specifically to you. There's nobody doing extra work on your behalf. Even though the person might break for 2 seconds in front of your house to chuck the thing out the window, still, they don't have to. they could not break and chuck it out their window. And therefore, it is, because of these malachos issues, it should be okay. There is a nolad issue, which isn't dealt with, but it seems like many posts are makel on the nolad issue. Meaning, before Shabbos, it existed. It just existed in the form of paper and ink. It existed, so therefore, sounds like it would be it is okay. Mikra din to read newspapers on Shabbos, provided that you don't read the ads. Right, that's really a different shear. The advertisement, those things like that, fall under business documentation on Shabbos, and has its own issues. But if one is just reading, I don't know what happens to the Dodgers, Cubs, Mets, or something along those lines, that sounds like it should be. So there's yishal mi lisvoch to permit that. Is what's reliance to permit that. Now, in terms of the things that are muksa, so that has to do with letters and has to do with muksa packages, so that's a problem. They ask in the back of the Hilchos Muksa book, they have questions that they asked both Moshe as well as Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Moshe's Machbaran. Rav Moshe says, Igeret Shalom, right, the question was, what about letters that show up in your house? but you don't have a need for. That's interesting. In the Mishnah Berurah, it talks about opening letters because there might be a need to know. There might be some. So Rav Moshe here in the second paragraph says it doesn't really apply today. Nobody sends letters if you need to get the information to that person right away. But even in his time, he was writing that. So is it permissible to move those? And he says, "Osam hanog." In the question, he says, "The bizman hazeh in haderech latzur al pitzluchaseinu yehei muksa." Right, that there's no use for those things. People don't use it to cover up their jars. They don't use these letters as bookmarks. Right, achim im yachshav kli kevan sheyachol ishtamish bo lamar makom bein daf yisar. Right, people do use them perhaps as bookmarks. Would that be okay? So says Rav Moshe, "Osam hanogim lechumra kashitas hamachmirim she'en likros igros shalom b'shabbos." Those are machmir. They have to read the letters on Shabbos. They would be muksa, and even if it's not those the hello letters, certainly bills and stuff are going to be muksa on Shabbos. And I, you say, well, I'll use it as a bookmark between spaces in my book. Came into Enu Miyuchad Lekach. It's not set aside for that. It's not a kli. Rather, it is what it looks like. It's muksa. It's something that you're not allowed to move. And therefore, the only Rav Shlomo Zalman said that. What do you mean? Everybody uses letters. They put it in their svarim, and they are able to hold the place that way. So Rav Moshe disagrees and says, no. There might be like a sociological difference between America and Israel with regards to that. Rav Moshe says it's muksa, and there's no real way around that. So what do you do about the stuff that's there? So if something is muksa mamish, what is permissible to do tiltul min hatzad, to knock it to the side? So mail that comes on Shabbos, so if it's a magazine, magazines l'chora would be permissible to use, right? You don't need it that day. They happen to bring it that day. It's coming from the postal service. It should be okay to read Time Magazine. From a strictly Hilchos Shabbos perspective, and then with regards to letters and bills, to just it probably is best to leave it there, and even over a couple day yontif, probably leave it there, try to figure out a way to knock it over to the side using something, some part of your body, other than your hands. And I think that's most of the things I wanted to speak about.
So just shove it to the side.
Right.
Okay. Right, because it would be a danger if it stays in front of the door, people could slip on it.
Right, it would be a danger. It's not nice. Yeah. For those reasons, it would be permissible to use the movie. Yeah.
What if it's outside and it's raining and it's a package or something?
Yeah, so that's a problem. But tilt them inside, the shelter should be okay. But if you can knock it in, to pick it up and bring it in, there's no heter for the purpose of the muksa. I mean, there is a heter of doing things for of picking things up if you're going to have a problem, but not for it's like, but what is permitted is tilt them in outside. So if you
push
can
it, push it in.
Knock it in, elbows. I think even elbows are okay. Just
feet
are good. Thighs, knees.
Yeah, right. It's my soccer.
Right,
soccer with the box. Okay.
Yeah, Dave looks
so
like
in, we're in an electronic age now too. Does any of this apply to things that are done electronically?
So I actually had that question.
You arrange, for instance, a transaction
right.
on Friday for something that's going to take place on Shabbos or on Yom Tov or whatever.
Yes.
A bill pay, etc.
Yes. Right.
Are those things that just fit like a Shabbos clock?
Even humans, people... touching it? No, it's already programmed by then.
Right, so the same type of thing.
But if you're doing it, it's like you sending the letter on Shabbos.
Yeah, okay. Unless you don't care. Meaning, I have an automatic bill pay set up, but I don't care if it's on that day or it's on the day after or the day before. The bank just decides to do it. So it sounds like that's okay, even though, right, by signing up for it, you're saying, I'm agreeing to see that day. He does say in here with the Amazon Prime or whatever that if you have an option of like opting out and saying, I don't care if it's a two-day thing, you should do that. But Amazon Prime, do you have that option?
Yes.
You could. You can opt out.
Usually have one or two.
Going back to the original thing, okay, so one is the automatic payments, like the mortgage, and that's just done automatically on whatever day they choose. I mean, it rotates around the week. But the other thing is that you go in to pay a credit card bill, and you take this, and you say to the credit card company, it's due on the 2nd, take it out on the 30th, and the 30th is a Shabbos, so you can't do that. You have to, right?
I think if there's, first of all, I'm not even sure there's really what exactly the malacha is we're talking about. They're moving money around. There's nobody moving money around.
it's all the numbers.
So if it's something that's not recognizable to anybody, what like it's like
it's
we have
just like a Shabbos clock.
It's like automatically going to happen.
I'm not sure why you say a Shabbos.
It
happens on its own.
Yeah,
it's even less than a Shabbos clock because you don't necessarily see anything nicker. We have our video things. I think we gave this in the show already. So we have our video surveillance system here. So as a chumrah, I say I'll turn off the screen. But it's being saved, right? It's being saved on some chip someplace. So we always assume that's permissible. There's nothing that's recognized by human is actually happening. Now here it is going to be recorded that way. But I think one can make a case that it's mutter totally, and then even if it's not mutter totally, so I'm not. I don't. It doesn't matter to me whether it's that day or you know Saturday night or it doesn't matter when on that day it takes place. It happens at some point. I think one has the right. I don't think you have to worry about that.
If you tell them to take it out on Saturday, they could take it out Saturday at 6 o'clock
yes.
Western time.
And they do it.
So I leave my house on Friday afternoon to come to shul for mincha. It's the summertime. The mailbox around the corner has a 5 o'clock pickup, and they also have Saturday at 1 p.m.
Right.
So it's after 5 p.m. at least.
Yes.
When you drop off this letter on the way, I can't do that.
No, he's saying it's okay because I don't care whether they pick it up on Shabbos.
But it's going in the mailbox. They're going to pick it up on Shabbos.
That's
it. He's not making the stop just for your letter.
No, I understand.
Well, that too. But even beyond right, his only scenario is your personal mailbox. But even if it is the right,
okay.
He even said that was okay because I don't think he can pick it up. Tonight, that was, I don't care. All right, thank you for coming.
Good evening.